Okay, before I get started, John, anything you would like to talk about?
No, just so you know, logistically, Andrew's in a car and Bill and I are in a different car. We're all driving.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll, if somebody drops off, just call back in. John, last week I talked about working with UBS bankers. Any additional thoughts on that, being able, if you've had a few minutes or a few days to think about it, any other ways you think you can leverage that conversation?
There's a guy in the business development group that we've had a little bit of relationship with. I'm going to probably try to stay in front of him. I'm also probably going to, I'm thinking about making a trip up to New York and see if I can get some introductions.
Well, I sent this out last night. Did you have a chance to look at that the Jim Forbes video?
Yep, it sure got me more bullish on the market.
Well, he's a bright guy. I don't know. You know, he was talking about all the M&A activity. Some of it isn't not necessarily going to be Fortune 500 companies. You told me last week that the team had some, or you had some experience in doing some investment banking in the private area. It just seems there's a connection there somewhere for a team like yours to get in the middle of all that.
And we're trying to do that.
You know what I would do. Forbes is a really nice guy. I don't know if it would be appropriate for him to, if he could do you all any good. But just to say you're going to be up there. You saw him on Bloomberg. You traffic in that area from time to time. And if he had any, if he could give you 15 minutes, right? He's the kind of guy. If he could give you 15 minutes, he would.
All right.
I'd like to follow up on a conversation we had on January 2nd. I said that there's a simple way to determine whether the scheduling part of your practice organization is working. And that measure, I painted this picture. The measurement is Andrew walks into the office and says to Leela, "I'm taking the week of March 12th off." And that's the last time Andrew would ever have to say anything else. Leela knows how Andrew wants to be rescheduled. Leela, are you to that point yet?
I think we're working on it. We've gotten through the first month of calls, and we're working on setting up recurring appointments. We're trying to figure out how to communicate with each other best and just make sure that if I do reschedule, that it works for everybody. But I think we're on the way.
All right. But you understand how I'm grading this.
Mm-hmm.
There should only have to be one conversation because you know how Drew wants to be rescheduled and where the holes are in his schedule.
Right.
Okay. Good. Andrew, you still there?
Yep.
You missed your last week. You mentioned last week that you've gotten three referrals. You had reached out to the two that fit your practice. We talked, it only been about 4 business hours. Have you had an opportunity to talk with those people?
No. And the guy who referred them, the rest of his assets, should be here by Thursday, so I'll have an excuse to talk to him and ask him what's my best way to get in touch with these folks, that they didn't respond to the email.
All right. You're really good at this, so I'm going to just offer a suggestion. You know, if it's you or not, what you'd really like to do is get in front of those people. Am I right?
Yeah, that's the only way I'm going to be able to sell them anything.
I like the way you cut the shape. This is good.
He's tough to work with. He's very terse.
I would rather deal with that from somebody who won't make a decision. Here's the only suggestion I would make, Andrew. is to say, not get in touch with him, and say, if, you know, if you were me, how would, you know, what's the best way to get in front of those people? What you really, what
got
you
it.
So, a minor thing, but I think it's, I think it's a,
all right.
Say it again.
No, I was saying thank you.
Okay. All right. Will, did you get my copy of your practice overview that I worked on?
Yes, and we really appreciate the time you put into putting those edits and suggestions, and we've used a lot of your wording, and I liked your format, and the next step for us is to send it to our internal compliance for review. But yes, we got it, and we appreciate the changes. It definitely makes it it makes an improvement.
Well, I went into your webpage, your UBS webpage, and pasted a few things. I tried to look at this, Will, as a client, and highlight the things that would jump out at me as being being different or being strong. John going to Duke, having been doing this for 30 years, that would give me comfort. With Andrew being a CFA, is that in? Yeah, a chartered financial analyst. That's a big deal. That's a really big deal. And I also like the part about Andrew being a member of the investment committee. Again, I just know how those committees work, and you can't, but you got to have something on the ball. Well, you should have something on the ball to be on the investment committee. CFP is a big deal. So I started working on it. I was going to make a couple of changes, and all of a sudden, it just started to flow. As far as the font and all of that, that's up to you guys to what you think looks the best. Is this what you're going to go with, Will, or are you going to make some changes off of what I sent?
The nuts and bolts, we're going to go with what you provided to us. When we send it to compliance, they may make us do it in the UBS font in their specific brand. But other than that, we really like the one that you sent back.
What did you think of our website?
I thought it was a little difficult.
Andrew did that.
What?
I was here in a big car.
Here's what I would say. Keeping the example that Andrew has set for me here today, being straightforward, I don't think it advertised you all as strongly as it could. I've seen prettier ones.
I agree.
So, I try to approach this from not as your coach, but as, when I look at things like that, John, as a possible client, and what would jump out at me. Some of the folks I've worked with have some pretty sites. I could send those to you if that would be helpful, or you probably
could. Yeah, that'd be great, because we're clueless on this.
All right. Well, I am too. I just know what appeals to me. All right. I'd like to spend a few minutes on accountability. We do that with something that's called our game board. I don't have I have a sense we haven't covered that yet, but I just want to make sure. We hadn't had that discussion, have we?
We did a little bit, and we've looked at it, and we've made some preliminary notes, but I'd love to hear what you have to say.
Well, nobody's going to hold your team, this team, and I'm not just blowing smoke here. Nobody's going to hold you more accountable than you're going to hold yourself. Would you agree with that?
Yes.
You all have a plan. You know what you're doing. It's just fun to talk to you all. I make more notes for me than I make for you. I just learn things from you all. I want you to hold yourself accountable. And the way that works is something called a game board. And I'll send you an example. Not an example of what goes on the game board, but the format. And the thought process is, every week in your team meeting, each team member including Leela, put down one thing, maximum of two things, that are really important for you to get done in the next 5 business days. To be on the game board, it has to be doable. This isn't where you say, you know, we want to add $100 million in assets this year. It has to be doable, and it has to be quantifiable. And I just to give you an example, let's say Will is in a planning mode, doing a lot of the planning for the team. Will can say the task is the planning, and the goal is 2. Will wants to get 2 plans started this week. Andrew may say the task is getting in front of these 2 people that we talked about earlier, and the number is 2. The most important thing I have to do for the next 5 days is figure out a way to get in front of these 2 referrals. Again, you can only have a maximum of 2 things on the board, because I know what you all do, pretty sure, because I did it. I have a list of 10 things to do. If you got a list of 10 things to get done, which one do you do first?
The one with the highest priority and the most time sensitive, or the one on the game board?
Or using my life as an example, the easiest one. It's always fun to scratch something off the list. So, Will, if you were putting something on the game board today, one thing, tell me what you, and I know you haven't had time to think about this, but what would you put on the game board to be followed up on in 5 business days?
I would create probably a calendar or planning for our people who we need to update financial plans.
Okay.
To get the ball rolling, we're here in January. There's a number of clients that we need to see to start a list and list them in priority of who to start a financial plan for or update it.
Okay. So how would you define that task? Update. Are these new plans or updated plans?
Probably both. So I would like to make a list of 10 clients, either new clients or existing clients that we need to either, one, create a whole financial plan, or two, update their plan and then run it by the team and have some sort of plan of action over the next couple of months of reaching out to them and getting the job done on updating or creating financial plans for these clients.
I would say 2 months.
Okay, you said you need to get the ball rolling. How do you get the ball rolling for this task?
I would create a list of the clients that need the financial plan, and then I would run it by the team, and then hopefully after that, the next step would be setting a standard either 2 or 3 a week to get started at a time.
Okay, I don't know what the right number is, but the task would be to put together a list of people who need to be whatever in the planning process.
Right, either updated or created a plan.
A lot of new people we have not done one yet on.
Okay, so Andrew, you would say you would. I think in that it's 2 different tasks. It's a list for people who need to get started and a list for people who need to be updated. And then the number, the quantification, how you quantify it is I want to get 2 of each started this week. I don't know if that's the right number, but you understand. What I'm trying to do, Will, is work you into something really specific. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
Okay. When you have your team meeting, you say this is. I have one. You can put 1 or 2 things on there. You say to John and Andrew, these are the 2 things that I want to get done our next weekly meeting. They're not the only things you got to do, but these are the 2 that you've identified as are really important to get done. John, other than drinking beer and playing golf, what would you put on the game board?
For me, it's just getting in front of two new people.
Do you know who those two people are?
I have a list, but I've been working with Andrew getting in front of them.
Okay, so the task is getting in front of prospects. The number is two. Am I correct?
Yeah, I think that if I could do that every week, we'd be fine.
You've made that pretty clear. You can, when you get in front of people, you do things go really well. So the key is you want to get in front of two new people. Andrew, what would you put on the board?
Understand when this guy's going to sell his company, that I'm having less than 15 minutes, and get this top 29 issue settled for one other guy.
All right. Andrew, if you got those two things done, you feel pretty good about that, wouldn't you?
I would, because the 529 has been bugging me, and I think this guy's dodging me on this company sale.
Yeah, and both of those things sap your energy. Would you agree?
Yeah.
Yeah. Things like that are, for me, like leaving your headlights on when cars were set up where you could leave your headlights on, and you know, you go into the store for 2 hours, and you come back, and the battery's dead. They just suck your energy. It may not seem important, but they are inner destroyers. So what I would recommend accountability is, and again, I'll send you an example of what it looks like. It's really simple. A game board in its best form is a dry erase board where you track, where you each member of the team can see what's on their plate for the next week. I was working with one of your folks in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and when I rolled out the game board, this is a guy not unlike you all. He grew up in Tulsa. He can get in front of anybody. His kids went to the right schools. He's been to Tulsa his whole life. He's on board. The only time he left was to go to the University of Arkansas and play baseball. But other than that, he gets in front of anybody. He can get in front of anybody. When I rolled out the game board, he sent me an email, and he said, "When you rolled this out, I thought it was stupid." That was his term, stupid. He said, "But," he said, his goal is to get in front of new people every week, and he can do that. It's just a matter of picking up the phone. He says, "If it gets to be Thursday and I haven't gotten that done, it focuses me on getting it done." So, very, very important. It's a dry erase board. There's one of your folks in California who has an office with a glass wall. He actually puts the game board up on that wall. I mean, right on his glass wall. Not what I would recommend, but it works for them really, really well. So, it's holding yourself accountable is only you can hold yourself accountable. Any thoughts on that? Any of you?
No, we like it.
Yeah, very simple. All right. We have three basic goals for Supernova. The first is to bring balance in your life. The second is to run your practice like a business. And the third is to significantly grow your practice. We spent time on the last two, running your practice like a business and significantly growing the business. Today I'd like to spend a few minutes on bringing balance to your life. Last week, and I referred to this a second ago, I asked John the question, if all jobs paid the same, what would you do for a living? And after a little prodding, John said he'd like to play golf and drink beer.
You're really not letting that go, are you?
No, I've written it down, and I promise not to bring it up. I promise not to bring it up again for a week. I'm going somewhere here. Will, if all jobs paid the same, what would you do for a living?
I would probably be the general manager of the Panthers.
All right.
I think Lee will put us on hold.
Okay, well, I'm going to... Andrew?
Yeah?
Okay. Both jobs paid the same. What would you do for a living?
I'd probably be a chef, and then I'd hunt on the side.
Ah! you would have, my wife is the head of the DAR in this town, Daughters of the American Revolution, and every year they have a big event. And last year, Andrew, they had Princess Di's personal chef. It was fascinating, the stories he told and talking about cooking. He cooked for 8 of us the night before the event. It was spectacular. Darren, he was good. All right, here's my point. I want to talk to you just a few minutes on how to get more time to do the things you enjoy, because it's good for you. It makes you better at your job. And the basis of what I'm going to talk about today is a book called The Power of Full Engagement. It's written by a gentleman named Jim Lehrer, L-O-E-H-R. The subtitle of the book is Managing Energy, Not Time. And it's thought if people don't want your time, they want you to be engaged. You've all been around people who they're there physically, but they're looking over your shoulder. You know they're not paying attention. They're just not engaged. Lehrer thinks that working, if you're working with a high degree of energy, you get a lot done in a shorter period of time. He has a facility down in Orlando where he brings people in and teaches people how to live their lives differently. Rob Knapp and I went down there in a small group a few years ago, and it really made a difference in my life.
Can you send information on that?
I will. I'm going to give you I'll send you the website. You can go down there as a onesie, or you can go down there with a couple people. He's got a facility. He used to be the coach of the Orlando Magic, not the basketball coach, but the head coach. I mean, you know, head, you know, what I'm talking about. I've been down there. He trained people you've heard of, Jim Courier, Monica Seles, Mark O'Meara, the golfer, Jim Harbaugh, the University of Michigan coach, Olympic gold medalist Dan Jansen. He has coached those people. And let me tell you how this is all pertinent to your business. Lehrer called me at the time, a corporate athlete. Just like the people mentioned above, we have to train in order to get your game or your business get the most out of it. And here's the foundation of a corporate athlete. And this gets down to creating more time to do the things that you all enjoy doing. He says stress is good for you. Think about that. I've heard all my whole life, stress is going to kill you. Stress is how you grow in the job. It's not, and he says it's not stress that robs us of our energy. It's the failure to recover from stress. What happens when you're stressed? You're usually outside of your comfort zone. But if you live in that area, it really, really saps your energy. And he uses an analogy of a rubber band. You all have probably done this: gone into a bottom of a drawer, dresser drawer, and you found some documents with a rubber band wrapped around them, or letters. With a rubber band wrapped around them. It's been that way for 10 years, and you take that rubber band off, and it just crumbles in your hand because it's always been stretched. It's never been given the opportunity to go back to its original shape. If on those documents that he talks about, if every month you've gone in, taken the rubber band off the documents, let it go back to its original shape, it would have all its elasticity that it had originally. So you all can't live in that stress area without recovering from that stress. And here's his thought. There are three things you can do in order to get out of that stress. Number one, you have to have the proper amount of sleep. He feels the proper amount is 7 to 8 hours. Number two, you have to exercise. He thinks you should get a little exercise every day. Think about the smaller things you can do. Take the stairs instead of the elevator, if that's doable in your office. If you go out to lunch, take the long way to the restaurant and the long way back. So, Andrew, when you go to lunch, park as far away as you can from the restaurant, get a little exercise. He also says when you drive to the store, the mall, the tennis court, you can't park far away from the entrance. These are little things. And you have to eat well. And by well, he doesn't mean a lot. My wife is terrific. We eat really, really well. We eat organic. It's really made a difference in our lives. So it's good to be stressed. That means you're probably getting better at your job, but you've got to recover from that stress, and that's diet, exercise, and sleep. Now, what some of you may be saying is, yeah, that's a great idea, but I don't have time to do those things. And what Jim Lehrer would say to you is, and he's a very nice man, he would look at you and say, well, I don't think you can afford not to do these things. So it's okay to be stressed. It's not okay to live in that zone. Now, let me have one other, try to tie all this together. He talks about life being a series of sprints, not a marathon. And the picture I would paint is if we had the world's greatest marathon runner in one lane, and then a bunch of guys like the those of us on this call, a bunch of people just like us, our job is to run 100 yards and tag the next person who's going to run 100 yards, so on and so forth. So we got the world's greatest marathon runner in one lane, and in the other lane, we got people who have to sprint for 100 yards. Well, you know which team's going to win, the people who sprint 100 yards and then they're finished. Well, you think about that in your work day, you come in and you sprint, and then you do things to decompress. And it, one of the things in the book, he gives some comparisons, and I'm covering an awful lot of that, so I'm going to really encourage you to get the book. The old paradigm is you got to manage your time. Under Jim Blair's thought process, you got to manage your energy. The old paradigm, you got to avoid stress. The new paradigm is you seek stress. That's how we get better in this business. Seeking stress is the same as getting outside your comfort zone. Old paradigm, life is a marathon. New paradigm, life is a series of sprints. And then here's the one that I think really helped, well, a lot of things helped me, but I think it would help you all. Downtime is wasted time. That's the old paradigm. If I'm not working, you know, somebody else is going to catch up to me. The new paradigm is downtime is productive time. And there are more, but that gives you a flavor. So the reason I bring this up is you all are in a stressful business. Not everybody can do what you do. If there are more people who could do what you all do, the job would pay less. UBS isn't paying, giving you the opportunity to earn a lot of money because they like you. They do, but that's not why they're giving you the money. Because they can't find many people that can do what you can do. You want to do this, you get outside your comfort zone, you recover, and then you come back the next day and sprint again. I'll send you the name of the book. I'll send you his website. You can go in, at the very least, go into the website and sign up for his free email. There's good stuff in there about maintaining your energy. They're not going to call you, at least they never call me. It's just so important to enjoy what you're doing, but also having time to do the things that allow you to recover from the stress of the job. It makes sense?
Yeah.
All right. I will send that some pretty websites to you. Name. I will send you Jim Lehrer's book and the website. Anything and a example of what the game board looks like. Anything else?
No, it was great. No, that sounds good. Thank you very much.
Good luck, Andrew.
Yeah.
I'll see you
next. Good luck, Andrew. You got him, killer.
Goodbye.
Thanks.
Bye. Bye. John. Yeah.